Hi, David here, and welcome back to the channel. In the last video, I said a little about automatic writing and introduced the writings produced by the medium James Paget in the early 20th century. So in this video, we're going to be looking at the first full message that Paget received from his wife, Helen. When I say the first full message, I mean the earliest one that has survived. Paget himself said that a lot of the early messages he received were little more than pencil squiggles and hook-shaped marks on the paper, and he had to persevere before he was able to read something legible. In this message, we meet Helen in the early days of her time in spirit. So she's not long passed over. She has had time to meet various family members and others, and has begun to build up a picture of her wider environment. But she hasn't changed all that much as a person, and that's consistent with what we know from mediumship more generally. We are who we are, and we don't change as people simply because we leave the physical form behind. We do, however, find ourselves in a different environment, and we change and develop in exploring that. When we look at the message, you'll see that Helen uses what will sound to many modern ears to be very traditional Christian language, which you would expect of someone of that era. But she also says something very striking, and which is not part of traditional mainstream Christian theology. So she has obviously had time to begin exploring beyond the teachings and language that she took with her from this world, by which I mean this physical earth environment. And she has obviously had time to develop a degree of skill in communicating with her husband, James. This comes about partly because of James Paget's curiosity. Although Paget's religious or spiritual background is generally Protestant Christianity, mainly Methodism, he does go exploring spiritualism, Unitarianism, and other traditions to see what he can find in them. And we see a hint of that in this first message, which was given on May 31st, 1914. So the message begins, "I am here, Helen. Yes, I love you, and you know it. Come to bed, and I will let you feel my arms around your neck and will hug you and put you to sleep so that you will feel better in the morning." Now, Helen is obviously not there in any kind of physical form, but she is reassuring Paget that she loves him and is close to him. We can see here that she is responding to a question from Paget as to whether she loves him. And it's interesting to know that shortly before Helen passed to spirit, the two of them had separated. And we do see hints in some of the early messages that much as he wants to hear from Helen, James might not be entirely sure how he stands with her, which I think is a lovely human touch. But it's all good, because all we ever see is Helen trying to reassure him and encourage him to keep writing and learning. And we see here a lovely example of how progressing beyond this world can open the door to new conversations and the opportunity to resume or repair relationships that have been damaged or interrupted in some way. At the time when this message was written, Paget has recently attended a Baha'i meeting. And there's a note with the original message indicating that he asks Helen if she went along with him, "Were you at the Baha'i meeting?" And Helen replies, "Yes, I was. I did not think much of the address of the woman from India because it did not tell of what the love of God is to the lost souls of man. You were not benefited much by it, as you were very lonely and needed the love of God to be preached. The other address was better, but it does not tell the way to truth and light that the Bible does. Be a Christian and love the God of the Bible, and Now, at this point, the message breaks off, possibly because Helen is struggling to convey the right words. And Padgett brings it back on track by putting another question to Helen. We don't have the precise question, because obviously Padgett doesn't need to write his questions down. He just asks them, knowing that whoever is nearby can hear. People in spirit communicate by thought and hear our thoughts, let alone the things we say out loud. So when we see someone in spirit responding to Padgett, we often just have to infer what it is that he asked. Anyway, Helen responds, "Yes, I am, and you know that I am in the spirit world. I can see that the things taught are the truth, for I am not in the flesh, and am not bound by the limitations of the flesh as I was when alive." And another question that he's put to her, and she says, "Yes, and I am trying to help you all that I can." And then another question or comment, to which Helen replies, "Yes, you do, and I will continue to help if you will let me." Now, at this point, Padgett picks up on Helen's earlier comment about being a Christian, and he asks a question about Jesus, which seems to be as to whether Helen has met him or learned anything about him. And she says something very interesting. She says, "Yes, I look upon him as a man of God, not as God himself. He is the one that should be your guide and friend. He is a very bright spirit and is far up in the heavens and is close to God. He does come to us sometimes and keeps us in holy rapport with the Father. He is the loveliest of all the spirits in the heavens. He is not angry with you, for he loves you with his whole heart and will do everything to help you." There's a lot in that short paragraph. I know from my own degree in theology how central the teaching of the Trinity is to the Christian churches. The idea that God has three persons, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and that these three are somehow all comprise one God. But what Helen says here flatly contradicts that, because she expressly describes Jesus as a man of God and as not being God himself. In saying that Jesus comes to us sometimes and describing him as the loveliest of all the spirits in the heavens, Helen is clearly giving the impression of having met or having had some form of interaction with him. So however conventional a Christian Helen might have been during her earthly life, what she has learned in spirit has clearly led her to leave behind the notion of Jesus as God. Yet she still regards him as someone very special. At this point, Padgett puts another question to Helen, which seems to be as to whether she is making progress or developing in some way. She says, "Yes, I am, but I am not in the heavens yet, but I will soon be. And then you will learn much more from me." So Helen describes herself as progressing and is aware of an environment beyond her current location, which she anticipates being able to gain access to. And she calls it the heavens. So we have a hint of multiple environments. But she isn't there yet. And she makes it clear to James that once she progresses further, there will be much more that she will be able to share with him. And Helen doesn't share anything as to where she is at this point in time. And Padgett then asks after Helen's father, who was also in spirit. And she replies, "He is getting better. He is beginning to see that this life is not for the Christians who have not the love of God in their hearts, but for those who love God with all their hearts and souls. He did not love God truly. He put too much faith in the literal words of the Bible, but did not have the spiritual love that he should have had." We see a hint here that Helen's perception of things is greater than that of her father, even though he has been in spirit longer than she has. Also, she emphasizes the love of God in the heart as being something that matters far more than formal teachings based upon the words of the Bible. She makes it very clear that belief in doctrine is no substitute for spiritual love. And at this point, Padgett asks after Helen's mother, and she replies she is progressing too. And then when Padgett asks after his own father, she says, your father is in the heavens and is a bright and shining spirit and is your guardian angel. He is with you very much and he will help you to progress and become a more spiritual man. Now, people often talk about having a guardian angel, someone in spirit who watches over them. And Helen is telling Padgett here that he does in fact have someone, and that it is his own earthly father who is now in spirit. And not just in spirit, but very bright, as she puts it. And just a quick note for those who might not know, the word angel comes from the Greek angelos, which just means messenger. So when you see or hear the word angel used, don't take it as necessarily indicating some kind of non-human spirit. In a way, every person in spirit who ever communicates with us is acting as a messenger or angel. So having asked after his father, Padgett naturally asks after his mother. And Helen tells him, your mother is far up in the heavens, and she is with you often, and is trying to help you also. She is an exceeding bright spirit, and is very strong, and is filled with the Holy Spirit to a very high degree. She is one of the brightest spirits that I know. She comes to me often and helps me to progress. And then Padgett asks after his grandmother, Anne Rollins, his mother's mother. Yes, she is too pure and holy to come to me very often, but she is much interested in you and will come to you when you write sometimes. She says she will tell you of the life in the higher spheres and also will come to you when you sit for a photograph in her illumined form, so that you may see that she is living and is part of the kingdom of God. She is the brightest spirit that I know. She is a very strong and powerful spirit and will not let you be bothered by the evil spirits or those who try to impersonate those spirits who are here and try to talk to you. She is here now and wants me to say that she is the loving grandmother that she always was and will love you with her whole heart. And at this point, the communication breaks off again, but there is still a lot to unpack here. As Padgett asks after different family members one by one, we start to build up a picture of people at different levels, at different stages of spiritual development, and as being in some sense located in different places or spheres, as Helen puts it, which are arranged in some sort of hierarchy. We also see that advancement is not just a function of length of time in spirit, because Helen seems to enjoy a higher degree of development than her own father. But she also seems to be a little bit in awe of some of the family members she describes, when she talks of them as being pure and holy or bright and powerful. The mention of evil or mischievous spirits is interesting. I mentioned in a previous video that when communicating with people in spirit, you don't just hold the door open to anyone. In terms of who you might attract, your own motivation and development are important. But we also see that Padgett's grandmother, Anne Rollins, is someone who can provide a degree of protection for Padgett so that he is not misled or deceived in the communications that he's receiving. The mention of spirit photography is also interesting. Over the years, I've seen many examples of spirit photographs that claim to show a visual image of someone in spirit. And to my eyes, many of them are obviously staged or the product of double exposures on the same plate. But there are a few that are less obviously staged and not so easily explained away. And here we see Helen passing on a message from Padgett's grandmother, encouraging him to try spirit photography as an experiment, so as to give her the opportunity to show herself. Paget then asks Helen if his grandfather, his mother's father, is with his grandmother, and Helen replies, he is not with her in the high heavens, but is a very bright spirit, and he loves you too. So the two of them are not together. And this prompts Paget to ask after his other grandparents, the Pagets, to find out where they are. Yes, they are in the heavens. Their love was so pure and holy that they went to the heavens when they died and are in the heavens of holy love. They are not. At this point, the communication breaks off again, and Paget seems to ask Helen whether she is becoming tired, because she replies, yes, I am, and must stop. Good night, Helen. And at this point, the communication comes to an end. Now, even that first message gives us a huge amount to think about. It would be possible to say far more, but there's no point in loading too much onto this first message from Helen. As we'll see, Helen's ability to communicate strengthens as both she and Paget develop, and she is able to be much more precise and detailed in what she wants to say. For the next video, I'm going to pick up on Helen's comment about Paget's father helping him to progress. And we're going to look at an early message from Paget Senior, explaining to his son James how he's going to be supported and helped in receiving the messages. So I hope you'll join me for that. In the meantime, if you've enjoyed this video, like it and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, as it does help to introduce it to other people who might be interested. In the meantime, thank you for watching and listening, and I'll see you soon. Take care.